joins us now. Jonesy, how are you?
Happy birthday, first of all, John.
Hi, Jonesy. How are you, my friend? Thank you for the best wishes.
And when you say that, Jason, we go back pre-Barstools because I wasn't old enough to drink.
but you were a good learner.
I always thought that I kind of gave John practice at being the radio guy he became. I was writing for the Red Deer Advocate as a teenager, going to high school full-time at the same time. And I... John was at Canadian Press, the wire service, and we were required to supply Canadian Press with, information off the hockey game that we, the Red Deer Rustlers or the Lacombe Rockets, and then later at the Journal, the Edmonton Oil Kings, and you'd have to phone Canadian Press, and the guy on the other line at the end of the phone was John. And we got into some of the most marvelous conversations, almost like it was a radio show, John.
Well, and that hasn't changed. You and I, we were not, we didn't come equipped with a lot of periods at the end of our sentences.
But man, some of those discussions where you were one of my early heroes that way, because not only that, John would come to, I remember once, do you remember the Red Deer, the Canadian Swimming and Diving Championships in Red Deer?
Absolutely. I remember it was great until one of the divers was blinded by the sun or temporarily blinded by the sun and hit the board on the way down. That was the saddest part of a great sports event.
But the thing is, that was the first time I saw you work writing in action as a sports writer. And you had this old, I think it was a Remington or something.
It was a little Remington that had survived some really interesting trips by then, Jonesy.
Anyhow, I never saw smoke come out of a typewriter like that before. You were the fastest writing writer I have ever seen to this day, with one exception, and that was Dan Jenkins.
Yeah, Dan could fly him too. But it got to be and you, Jonesy, you had nobody to apologize for. I know how often you filed late and got it in on time. And I don't mean that in any smart aleck way, but deadlines have been getting tighter and tighter as we move forward. We used to have time.
Curling were a pretty good example of that.
Well, we used to be able to say, okay, let's go into the dressing room, get the article, get the information. If you felt like having a beer or six, you could do that.
With the senior hockey players over at the Cromdale.
Well, the one I remember, you talk about being shocked. I was in Nelson, B.C. as a 17-year-old kid. And to get there, Jonesy, as you know, I was at the Globe and Mail working full-time as a copy boy and going to school full-time, just as you were doing in Red Deer at a much higher level. But the reality is, after a hockey game in Nelson, I was sitting, I'm still at that point drinking Coke. I thought that was lots to drink. And the game ended, and the Nelson Arena was right next to a hotel. And there were four players from Nelson walk in their home, playing a game at home, and got their beer before they took their skates off.
I take it they didn't win that night.
I don't know. And the other great story is traveling with Gus Kyle and the old Calgary Stampeders in the Western Hockey League, not the WHA, the old Western Hockey League,
right,
which
yep.
was a minor pro league. And Kyle told all the players that they could have a drink or two on the way back from a 5 or 6 day preseason tour against the first ever pro hockey team in Portland. And there was a little traffic trouble getting back from Moose Jaw at the end of this tour. And by the time we got home, the players had found a way to get more than one or two beer on the bus.
Shocking.
An old goaltender named Lucien Duchesne literally showed up with four cases of beer. And of course, he was going to share a couple with his friends. And I said, Luke, I said, you can't possibly drink this much beer. He said, 20, 30 beer don't hurt nobody.
Those are the days. I'll tell you.
Yes, they were.
John Shorts with us. Terry Jones, of course, is celebrating. John turns 80 tomorrow. I'm having a surprise show with a lot of guests coming in. Jones, you've been around, as long as John, really, when you consider writing in Edmonton, you've been the top columnist for a long time. And how has it changed for you? What's the biggest challenge now compared to how you used to have to write or what you used to have to do as a columnist slash reporter?
Mostly the technical stuff and the time element. I used to go into work at 10 o'clock. Now I'd miss deadline at 10 o'clock. Deadline was sort of a mysterious thing around 4 o'clock in the morning when the guys in the typesetting room were getting ready to go home sort of thing, because the paper actually came out at 11 in the morning. And you could, I remember I covered the 72 series off a television set in the Journal newsroom because it was right on deadline over here in Alberta at 11 o'clock in the morning. I wrote our front page piece every day off a TV set. Now it's, for example, covering writing a column on an Oiler game this year, I don't have time to get down to the dressing room some days. I mean, if it goes overtime, there's just no time. I'm writing it and filing it almost at the buzzer. It's a whole, any really thought-type columns involving that hockey game are going to be a day later in most cases now, although it depends on the way it goes. But the one thing that I mentioned got a lot of rough time about was for 49 and a half years of covering hockey in this town, this is the first one that I've actually had the pleasure of having a toilet in the press box.
I can go there now.
Yeah, and an elevator to get up to it, because it's. But I remember, John, I don't know, you saw a lot more buildings than I did, because I don't know if people realize this, but John covered, when he was in Toronto, Canadian Press covered playoff games with the Leafs.
I covered the last Leaf Stanley Cup, 1967.
Well, they better get you back there.
There are people in Edmonton think that would be a good idea.
But, I mean, I remember really well coming. I'm covering the Lacombe Rockets for the Red Deer Advocate. Don Drummond was the sports editor there. I came up to cover an Oil King game against the Rockets, and that was the first time I was in the press box at the Edmonton Gardens, which to this day, other than Montreal Forum, the old Montreal Forum, was the best place to watch a hockey game. I mean, you're right over top of the ice, and
yes.
But to me, it was like a million miles up, and this was the most amazing facility in the history of sports. but a lot of things like that. It's a challenge technically to keep up. I mean, Twitter is part of my job now. I had to be sort of roped yelling and screaming to get into the Twitter world, because the Edmonton Sun wanted me to sort of take everybody to the Grey Cup here in 2010. And
without leaving the ballpark, I know.
Just not even game day. I'm talking about during the week. You know, just take them with you. Wherever you're going, you go in the spirit of Edmonton.
Oh, I got you.
That
okay.
kind of thing, right? And I discovered it was fun. But now there's so many haters, and it's changed. It's what it's become is, and you can relate to this better than anybody, is a terrific wire service. I mean, you find out about just about anything if you follow the right people and sources.
And as you know, the best job I ever had for sheer fun was when I worked with Canadian Press, because I would regularly go from a political meeting to a sports event.
Right.
And Peter Lougheed once told me, and I've used the quote a million times since, there's so much sport in politics and so much politics in sport that basically they're the same damn game. And that's a direct quote.
Well, I've said this for years, and nobody's called my number on it. But any newspaper man is familiar with, especially a sports guy, is familiar with what happens on election night. All of a sudden, they send these general news reporters out over, you know, throughout the city and the province, if it's a provincial election, they come back to file their stories, and then all of a sudden there's just mountains of chicken and pizzas and everybody's congratulating each other for getting this. We do this every day in sports.
Right? Deadlines were deadlines were never a problem until deadlines absolutely disappeared, and you work on immediacy now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But all that pizza and stuff.
Jonesy, you and I both ate enough of it.
That's true. And there were no libations, except for in the old days in the bottom left-hand drawer of most guys' desks.
Yes. Jonesy, we appreciate you coming on, sharing some stories. We'll talk to you again soon.
Oh, that's great. Have a great happy birthday, 80th there, John. You certainly, miracle you made it to 80, eh?
Well, you can attest to that. My friend, we'll talk again soon, Jonesy. Thank you.
Good luck, mate.
It was Terry Jones, a great writer. Our